where family values are more than slogans. The Rick Smith Show.
All because the gays are getting married. That is why people die and children go unfed. When I'm sad and alone and I'm wondering just why everything about my life is feeling like it's going down a toilet bowl. It's good to know it's cause the gays.
So, yeah, this is one of those things where I didn't even know that we had an ambassador at large for international religious freedom. I didn't know we had one. In fact, I don't think we've ever had one before. But on Wednesday, President Trump announced that he's going to nominate Kansas Governor Sam Brownback Mountain. Yes, he is going to be a guy who's a vocal opponent to gay rights, a guy who has literally taken food out of the mouths of children. He's going to be our religious freedom ambassador. Yeah, he's going to take the word. How just nuts is this stuff becoming? And that's why I've asked our good friend Isaiah Poole to come talk with us. He's the communications director there at People's Action. Isaiah, thanks for taking time for us.
It's my pleasure.
So did you know that we had an ambassador at large for international religious freedom, or is this new?
We've had religious liaisons in the White House in every administration. There was one in the Obama administration. There was one, of course, in the Bush administration. Sometimes they reach a level of prominence, especially in the Bush administration with the cultural wars over LGBT rights. I think naming Sam Brownback for this crucial position is actually pretty bizarre, because even within Christianity, Brownback is at the bizarro end of Christian belief, at the extreme end. He is even though he's a Catholic, he has been associated with a dominionist form of Christianity, which is not mainstream. It means that dominionists believe that they have some special charge to rule over government and over the earth in the name of God. And so it's a way for them that to take their own certainty about what they think God wants for other people and impose it.
You know, it's one of those, as you're going through this.
So
I'm
it's
going,
not about religious. You know, it's not about religious freedom. Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. But it's really not about religious freedom at all.
Right.
It's about religious imposition.
And their ideology, of that, this idea that somehow we're the chosen ones, we're exceptional, we're better than everyone. And I got to be honest, I don't know that I want the ambassador of religious freedom, if there is one, to be that kind of a mindset.
No, I mean, I certainly don't want a person who really wasn't concerned about my religious freedom when he went around the country as both as a member of Congress and then as the governor of Kansas, crusading against the rights of LGBT people to marry whom they love, which I happen to believe as a Christian is something that, God has given me the privilege and the ability and the right to love whom I choose to love. And he's blessed me, I believe, with the most wonderful man alive. And, I take that as a blessing from God. And Brownback certainly has a right to disagree, but he certainly doesn't have a right or shouldn't be in a position to use the power of government to push that theology on right. other people.
And again, this is from the people who tell us that they want smaller, less intrusive government, which I always find interesting. Now, this wasn't the only story on the LGBT side of the equation. I mean, because now you've also got the Department of Justice and Jeffy under under heavy pressure to get out. But the Department of Justice is evidently arguing that that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not protect workers based on sexual orientation. So this is not another attack. And then throw on top of that the tweets about transgender people in the military. It's not been a good week.
It has been an absolutely horrible week. But I have to say that this is the reason why we, you know, those of us in the LGBT community were for years trying to get Congress to pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That was a law that would have explicitly said that you could not discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation in employment. Because in the most technical of senses, Session is right. That when that law was written, this, the Civil Rights Act was written, it was not written to include gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. That's why you needed additional legislation. We have been fighting that for years. Unfortunately, both Democrats and Republicans certainly the Republicans have been fighting against that, and a lot of Democrats have not really gotten on board.
Right.
To push that. Now we see the consequences of our failing to do that, because I believe, and the evidence is in corporations, you could look across the landscape of corporations in America, the instances in which employees are discriminated against because of sexual orientation is actually very low, because most corporations explicitly forbid it, but not because the law requires them to.
Right. But you know, you look at this week, and again, you go back to the campaign and Donald Trump saying, you know, I'm going to be the best and I'm going to do all these wonderful things. And you know, look at the records. And now I'm looking at this going, you know, from the campaign to this, you know, what brought all of this about? Why this week? And I keep coming back to healthcare. I keep coming back to dysfunction in the White House. And, you know, you look at, you know, the tweets on transgender people in the military and you go, you know, why choose that moment? Especially when we now find out he didn't reach out to his generals, even though he said he did. This was just seemed to be a whim, if anything else.
Bingo, you said it. We know from the pattern that we've seen from the time he's been in the office, and frankly during the campaign, to be honest, that this man is a very impulsive person, that he acts on whims. He sees something on Fox News. He gets a conversation from someone who walks into the office. And then, you know, the transgender order is an amazing example of the combination of him acting on impulse and actually overacting on impulse. Because according to the reports I've seen, the conservatives who were basically wanting the president to say that the military should not be paying for sex reassignment surgery. And that was what turned into, oh, we don't want transgender people in the military at all, and not only do we not want any new ones coming in, we want the ones that are already there to get out. It's not even what the conservatives who walked, the lobbyists who walked into the room were trying to get a clause in the military appropriations budget about sex reassignment surgery. It's not even what they wanted.
Yeah.
Not what
now,
they
now you can have an honest discussion around whether, you know, tax dollars should be going to that. I mean, you can have a discussion around it. We can also have a discussion around should we be spending $1.6 billion to build to put towards a wall that most rational, sane, thoughtful people do a lot of
reassignment surgeries with that wall money. I'd say, or for that matter, with any of the the money that we're talking about with in terms of health care for transgender troops is minuscule compared to a lot of other items in the Defense Department budget.
I had someone tell
including the Viagra budget, by the way.
Yeah, and I had someone point that out to me, that, you know, the Viagra budget was well through the roof, and it was, and you go, well, you know, that could be, you know, again, you can have these discussions. Should we be paying for Viagra? You know, again, you know,
I'd like to actually, maybe we should be, you know, given what Scaramucci said that Steve Bannon was trying to do, I think we should pay for yoga lessons.
Well, maybe that's that's why we don't see Steve Bannon very often.
Oops. Let's move on.
I mean, I don't know, but you know, look, at the end of this, you know, the sad reality is there's a lot of things going on, and I said, you know, and I said this the other day, and I took some flack for it. That is this really the issue of the day? I mean, you know, for the entire day, you know, CNN was focused on this issue, which I said from the beginning, it was made for cover, it was made for a distraction, while whimsical, yes, it was made to distract us from the fact that the Republicans were talking about taking health care from anywhere between 16 and 23 million people in this country.
Right. And, you know, the good news, of course, is that this bill imploded late at night, in the middle of the night.
Did you stay up and watch it?
I did not stay up and watch it. I actually was very pleasantly surprised.
See, one of the smart ones. I couldn't not turn it off. It was like the best... you know, political theater, you know, must-see TV with, you know, the Gipper coming out at the last minute and doing the thumbs. I mean, John McCain coming down and doing the thumbs down. You know, it was like one of those, you know, hero moments.
I think you're absolutely right. And it's a real tribute, you know, to the folks who get represented by several large group of people who went down to the Capitol late last night to say, no, do not vote for this repeal. And I'm grateful that those voices got heard. Mitch McConnell has to sit on his butt, and the rest of the Republican caucus has to sit on their butts for a while. And maybe now they will listen to those of us who they're supposed to represent, and really fix our healthcare system in the way that they're supposed to. And I'm glad that John McCain also took an action that matched that lofty rhetoric he offered earlier in the week.
Yeah, I said from the beginning, though, you know, if he could have just we didn't need all this high drama. He could have just stayed in Arizona, could have gotten treatment, didn't have to put himself at risk. He could have just stayed, and it would have been done then. We wouldn't have had all this, and I wouldn't have missed hours of sleep last night.
Right, right. You know, I was totally opposed to the idea. You know, if you say that the process is flawed, vote against the process. That would have been my position.
Were you shocked that Lindsey Graham, who said it was disastrous and it was a disaster and a fraud, that he voted for the disaster and fraud?
Yeah, well, I'm not 100% surprised. You know, there was this sort of lame statement that Paul Ryan issued on the House side, which should have been rendered as insufficient. I mean, you know, think about this. I want to make sure that your listeners understand that the Senate Republicans were voting for a bill that they knew they did not want enacted into law.
Yep.
Okay? Now, that's how far we have sunk. The responsibility of every elected official who is elected to Congress is to legislate. You're supposed to say what you want. You're supposed to and enact that. And, you know, plus, if your own party can't get it together, then you have the responsibility to turn to the other party and say, look, help us. But because, after all, the Senate is supposed to serve all of us, not just some of us.
You know, and again,
but the Republicans have forgotten that.
Yeah, I mean, they've completely forgotten that. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me is that, you know, while we have this momentary reprieve, I fear that down the road what happens is that they've already done enough to destroy it. They've already done enough to cause chaos and uncertainty, and that it does implode.
You know, and again, we should be up in arms. There is fundamentally immoral, fundamentally unethical, and ought to be fundamentally politically untenable for anyone, any legislator in the House or the Senate to say, well, we should let one-sixth of our economy, the lifeline, literal lifeline for millions upon millions of people, to implode. You know, if that's your position, we need to vote you out in 2018.
And to me, that was the message last night. You saw a party that, at any cost, they were going to get their repeal through, even if they were going to vote for a bill that they didn't want ever enacted into law. And ultimately, there, you know, as I said last night, I think part of McCain's decision was that he just didn't trust Paul Ryan and the Republicans in the House not to take that skinny repeal and put it on the president's desk.
Right, exactly. And nor should they have been trusted. But I mean, I absolutely, you know, listen. Let's make sure that everybody knows what the Republican Party and the Trump administration is up to here in terms of doing damage to one of the most critical pieces of our economy, the thing that we depend on to keep us alive.
With an hour's notice.
Right.
It's nuts. Just absolutely nuts. But for the day... We have, you know, as I said today, fended off a bullet, death not imminent. But from here forward, I think the argument is, you know, take the Democrats' better deal, inject one insurance pool, call it Medicare for all, call it universal coverage, whatever, but start pushing forward and come up with a plan of how we fix what are some real problems.
Exactly, and there are things that we can there's a long term goal of Medicare for all. There are things that we can do right away to begin to fix markets, and save rural health care, and take some other steps to make sure that people have access in the interim. I think one of the things that you need to do is go to ourlivesontheline.org. And go to an event on Saturday, even though we're not having, there's not a vote on health care, but we still need to make a statement of that we are going to continue to hold Congress responsible for health care as a human right for all of us.
Yep.
And so People's Action and a host of other organizations will be participating in rallies around the country. We want you to go out and be at a rally and take a stand. Take a victory lap, but then take a stand.
Now is the time to start organizing for the next fight, which we know is coming. Isaiah, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Always great having you on the program.
Fantastic. Glad to be
good
here.
Good stuff. Our good friend Isaiah Poole. Again, check out their website, peoplesaction.org. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check that out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. I'm the talk.
Me and my people are ready. Me and my people are just about due. I'm a massive airstrike on a beautiful night. Yeah, it's my song I'm singing. Somebody better start counting. We're coming out. We're coming out swinging.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.